Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
One NFL analyst breaks down a pretty interesting decision ahead for somebody that might be in play. Might be in play for the Browns at two there, JP. We got the Orange Bowl tonight. Drew Aller played a pretty nice, it was really a really nice first half in the second round matchup, the Penn State Boise game. And that led people to suggest that he should reconsider, if he continues to play this way in the playoffs and Penn State goes deep, he should reconsider whether or not to go back to Penn State for a final year or not. Well, Sam Monson of the 33rd team tweeted this out earlier this week. He said, Aller could go number one overall next year if he goes back. He could also go as high as three this year if he needs. If he goes this year, I don't know. I butchered that last part, but I think it's. I'll be honest with you. I think Sam Monson is shorting this one. I think Sam Monson is speaking as if Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are on some other level than Drew Aller. I don't think he is. I think if Drew Aller comes out, I think like I'd put him right up there with those three quarterbacks, and I think it makes it an even more difficult decision for Tennessee or Cleveland atop the draft.
I'd put him at number two. I would firmly put him number two.
I like that because I would like him here.
The only reason why. So my big fear, obviously, with Shedeur is I've been pretty vocal about what I like about Shedeur is that if the comp to Shedeur in some circles is Joe Burrow, I would think Callahan, who obviously coached Joe Burrow, would probably have a pretty high interest in having somebody like that on his team. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Wild guess out there. That's me just copying, pasting, and saying, okay, he'd probably be pretty appetizing to someone like Callahan. But what I like about Drew Aller and why I think he's better than Cam Ward is the idea that, now what scares me is the idea that he's going to have to be, you won't win right away. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to need, the reason why he's debating about staying another year is he's clearly not polished enough yet, and he clearly has got some room to grow. But as far as the Stefanski system is concerned, and some of the things we like about Shedeur, the idea that he can work within that system, that Drew Aller is the same type of guy that way. He can do a lot of those same things while also then being, slightly smaller than Big Ben. He's a massive human.
Yeah, and also, the Browns drafting philosophy. There's a lot of analytics that goes into age of when you were drafted, and the younger you are, this is one of the big reasons why David Njoku was a first round pick for the Browns. He was kind of a second ish round pick, but because of that youth and that ridiculous athleticism, it kind of sprung him forward plus the fifth year option. So Drew Aller's still only 20 years old. He won't be 21 until March 8th.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely think the next game, at the very least, matters massively. But I think what's interesting to me about this is, I actually think Aller fits this system. He's actually been under center more than either Shedeur or Cam Ward, who have been out of the shotgun, I mean, a lot. Like, it's hard to pinpoint the exact number because I've seen the number, like, different four different places.
Sure.
but those guys predominantly play out of the shotgun, which so you're projecting that they'll be comfortable under center, which honestly we had the whole debate with Deshaun and him being under center. I think the problem with Drew is people are going to look at his numbers and they're going to say, well, those guys have better numbers in college. The reality is there's still a gap between what makes a good NFL quarterback and what makes a great college quarterback. And I think that's the difference between Drew Aller and Shador, and not necessarily Shador, but certainly Cam Ward.
I think the problem I would have is that when you spoke to his age and everything, I think you'd be looking at something like what Buffalo did with Josh Allen, where you draft him, you're like, all right, first 2 years, we can't even care about the results. We're playing for year three and beyond. And I just don't know. I don't know that Stefanski and Barry have enough time to try to see that through.
But I'll be honest with you. It's the kind of move, if they did that, it's a bit of a put them on the table move. And it's the kind of thing that could earn my respect. And again, this is all under the fanciful idea that Drew Aller's going to play so well tonight against a very nice Notre Dame defense. And oh, by the way, even if they win tonight and he plays really well, then he's got to go to the national championship game where he's either going to face the Ohio State defense or the Texas defense. Mm-hmm. And either one of those defenses could ruin your perception, which is really what draft stock is at this point in the season, and maybe discourage you from doing this. I'll be honest. I know, like, Drew Aller could absolutely just go back to college, collect his NIL, and he could be in the NFL in 2026. So in the end, I want the prospect to make the best decision for him. It's going to conflate the conversation here because he's from Medina too. That's another thing. It's going to make people unnecessarily.
Let me ask you this, because I don't think you're having it because he's from Medina. Like, if he was from Knoxville, would we be talking the same way?
I would be.
I would be too.
Do you know
but
why?
I'm worried that a lot of the fan base, that's not why they're having the conversation.
So it's the size of the quarterback. He actually is more athletic than I think people realize. They don't move him around a lot.
He doesn't move a lot, but I don't need him to move a
lot.
To be honest, I don't want him to move a lot with Stefanski.
And if you watch him move, he's a pretty damn athletic guy for being a damn Tonka truck at 6'5", and I don't even know how much he weighs at this point. So, like, but here's where I really get sold with him is, one, I do think he fits the system. I think he's got more time under center. I think he's got more time and experience in the play action. And guys, if you can do this intelligently, if you can do this patiently, if you have a plan for Drew Aller, I think the upside is sky high.
Well, if we talk about preserving your jobs, right? And that's kind of one of the big themes of the executives around sports these days, is basically how long can you keep your job for? Can you convince Haslam to say, okay, first 2 years, you're going to have some results, but let's say it goes the way that Josh Allen did with Buffalo, where even the first 2 years, they won games in year two, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
They won games. They were good. Their defense was outstanding in those years. Josh Allen wasn't particularly great, but if memory serves me right, was it year one or year two they won double-digit games and made it to the postseason with Josh Allen?
So they definitely had a high success rate in the second season. It was 10-6.
10-6, yeah.
I remember they
won double-digit games year two. It was not because of Josh Allen. Year three was the year that Josh Allen just took off and was a completely different player. But if you're the Browns and you're Haslam, can you sell the Haslams on that right there? Like the idea that we're going to have an awesome defense and then we're going to have a good enough team that maybe by year two, maybe we do get double-digit wins, but that's not the point. The point is what happens year three and beyond.
I think, I don't want to say controlling the messaging or controlling the Haslams. I think so much of a pick like this is just being realistic and honest with your owner. And I think it's fair to say, listen, Jimmy, he is more of a risk than maybe Shador is. Maybe Shador is more ready to be a better quarterback now.
Yeah.
So you might go into next year, and if Shador is balling out and Drew hasn't played yet, or if Drew struggles, some fans are going to be mad and they're going to be pointing over there. But we're basing this from who's going to be the best player 3 years from now. So you have to be realistic with Jimmy. I think the Haslams, for everything you could say about them, I think if you go to them and say, like, I feel like this idea is, well, you manage up and you treat these billionaires with kid gloves. I don't think that's the relationship. I think if this was about managing the Haslams, I think eventually you fail at that.
Well, I do think a selling point that you would have if you're the Haslams, or excuse me, if you're Stefanski and Barry in this is, What have we heard? We keep hearing that they want to be great as soon as they possibly can. That's every owner in the NFL. But when do the Haslams really want to be shining, and when do they really want to be ready to go?
By the time the new building's up.
Exactly right. 2029 is when they want to be off to the races and being awesome and selling all the different season tickets where no one's going to even complain about the PSLs and everything attached to it.
Whether you want to
buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Well, I mean, Drew Aller is going to be ready to go at that time.
And Brook Park is a quicker drive for people from Medina that want to go ahead. And people from Medina County, just letting you know.
People are saying.
Everyone's saying it. But no, I mean, I really look at Drew, and listen, again, I don't know it's in his best interest to do this, but I know that, like, my biggest fear of him doing this, if coming out this year, is that the Titans see the same damn thing.
Well, I mean, he's got to get with a team that is resolved and
yes,
good with the idea of patience.
Well, and, no, so for me, the key with Drew Aller, whether he plays next year, whether you take him to and he plays next year or not, it is, are you willing, can you build a team that can win around him? And I think for the
right.
Browns, if you're gonna, so the defense, I think, again, he just has to be better than what they've had. And the way that you help a young quarterback, if they're maybe on the raw side, is one, you got to build a good running game. I don't know that Buffalo had that first year with Josh, and in fairness, I don't think they went to Josh right out of the gate.
No, it was a great defense either. That's what got him.
But like that second year, the run game got better. The defense was, I mean, phenomenal by the first 2 years. I mean, the first couple of years, it's still pretty darn good. But like the if you've got a super raw quarterback, I think it starts with, can you run the ball and minimize your reliance on that quarterback's arm early in the season? And
yeah,
then you have a defense that can bail you out if you go out there and he has a bad turnover.
Well,
and I think this defense has shown, at least last year and the years before, they could do that.
You can see why Drew is hesitant to do any of this, though, right? I mean, because if you enter and you're not ready and you need that grace period, you need those couple years, you enter and you go to the wrong spot, all of a sudden, you're just screwed. Because not every team is going to look at it like, oh, we're going to give you the time to do this. Like, how many times do we have that conversation about what would have happened if the Browns took Josh Allen at number one? And then we've all kind of just recognized, well, Josh Allen was great, but Josh Allen wouldn't have worked out that way if he was with the Browns.
I mean, and here's another thing. If you guys remember, the Browns had the 5th pick in the 2009 draft. They traded to the Jets, and they traded down a couple more times. But basically, Mark Sanchez came out a year early. And Pete Carroll, who had been in the NFL, went to him and said, you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophecy came true. I mean, yeah, they won games with him. But if you actually look at it, it didn't help that they didn't have a good offensive head coach. It was Rex Ryan,
yeah,
as a defensive guy.
They went to back-to-back conference title games.
Yeah, but if you look at his numbers, were atrocious.
No, he was a bad quarterback.
And so, like, that weighs in the back of my mind. The difference is you do have an offensive head coach. And the difference is you've got a system that I think really, really plays to his skill set. And here's one more thing. That dude's arm. The arm thing doesn't matter in Cleveland year-round. When it does matter is in November, December, and January. That's when your arm strength matters in Cleveland. And that's why, I'm not saying Shador, but that's why guys with lesser arms just tend to go the way of the dodo here.
Yeah,
and Drew Aller's arm would absolutely play on the lakefront over the next couple years.
I know, but if I'm Drew, I'm looking at it like you need a perfect storm of situations for right now. And then the Browns could be that, by the way. They could be that. But
he also just has to do the Bernie Kosar and say, I'm going to Cleveland. Drew, I'll tell you, they'll love you forever. You pull the Bernie Kosar and say, I'm only going to Cleveland, and Cleveland takes you at two. You tank those Titan interviews.
From an entertainment standpoint, I'm totally here for that. I would love that. If you have to actually, if you have him coming out and saying he's going into the draft just because he wants to be a part of the Browns, and that's the only reason why, that would be dynamic theater.
216-474-0092. If Drew Aller reverses his decision and were to come out, is that the right decisions for the Browns at two if he's available? And speaking of if statements, if Shador Sanders is in play for the Browns, Gary Barnett, a long-time association with Colorado football, he's going to join us next and tell us what the Browns be getting in him on and off the field next on 92.3 The Fan.